Well, again, it's been a good time. I've been with you. I was thinking this morning as Brother Lindsay was talking about how quickly time goes. Tonight's last time we'll have a scheduled service in this year. And I was thinking, again, while Brother Mark was reading, how just a few more setting suns. Now, that's just becoming more and more real to me. Just, you know, when you're younger, these things seem to almost be like a cliche. But you start to get a little age on you, and you start thinking, you know, this is real. This is serious. Tonight we have a few moments to be together. And I'll tell you how important these moments are. The Lord said, "Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of you." And you know, with the realization that He's here. I believe that, Rex. I believe that. I believe He's here. And I pray that this evening the Lord might be pleased to bless this service. I'm going to ask you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 21. Proverbs 21. Proverbs 21, verse 21. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth life, righteousness, and honor. Here our Lord has promised through the pen of a man named Solomon, a man that Almighty God had given wisdom. That's what he asked for. Lord asked Solomon, "What do you want me to give you?" And he said, "I pray you'd give me wisdom. Wisdom to govern, watch over your people." Lord said, "Because you didn't ask for money, you didn't ask victory over your enemies," He said, "I'm going to give you what you ask. I'm going to give you all these other things too." And here the Spirit of God sets forth a grand promise. He that continues to follow after. He that continues to walk, he that continues to long after, even in the midst of the frailty of our flesh, a believer follows after righteousness, mercy, and here's a promise. He finds something. He finds life, he finds righteousness and honor. Now, I know this. I know that the natural man, dead in trespasses and sin, every man, every woman born in Adam, it's impossible. If Almighty God leaves that man, that woman to themselves, it's impossible to believe God. Because the natural man possesses not the grace of faith. Faith is the gift of God. It's given, Philippians 1:29, unto you in the behalf of Christ. Graciously granted. Graciously given as a favor. A favor from God Almighty. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake, to experience. I mentioned this morning, to experience the blessing of abuse from the world, the suffering at men's hands for His sake, for standing, believing, walking after, following after Christ. It's not a small or an insignificant privilege when Almighty God permits. It's permitted unto you. It's given unto you to suffer. Whenever Almighty God allows one of His own to suffer. Now you think, He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The steps of a good man, made so by the imputed righteousness of Christ, they're ordered by the Lord. We had to be here tonight. We had to be in this place. And this grace of suffering for His name's sake, what honor is given unto the Lord. This grace, this mercy is bestowed upon those that Almighty God has chosen to show mercy. So don't be disheartened. Like we talked about this morning. Don't be pushed down and feel abused, which we are. But the Lord said, greatly rejoice. Almighty God has allowed them to do just exactly what they want to do, and He's going to absolutely recompense to them that which is due. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I used to tell my kids, if you don't know what to do, if you don't feel that you know the right thing to do, what to do, don't do anything. That's the safest thing to do. Wait on the Lord. He will direct. He will guide. He will order your steps. Now, He's graciously delivered His people. And now He's allowed us the privilege, granting us faith to believe, to suffer for His name's sake. The Lord told His people in John chapter 15, we believe this glorious gospel, and He told His people, He said, the world hates you. The world hates you, despises you. Do you know why? Listen to what the Lord says. John 15, 19. If you were of the world, if you were of the world's religion, if you were of the world would love his own, because you're not of the world. And listen to these words. But I have chosen you out of the world because I have been pleased to choose you out of the world, because I have been pleased to redeem you by grace. I lay down the life, my life, for the sheep. Because the Spirit of God has called you out of spiritual darkness effectively, called you by power, because I chose you, because I redeemed you, because I called you, because I'm God, because I'm sovereign, because I have the right to do as I will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, because I am God and have shown mercy to you. That's the reason the world hates you. We're not saved by works. We're not saved by our doings, by our will. The Scripture declares, by grace. Are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself? It is the gift of God. But let me ask you this. How does one know? How does a man know that the Lord has granted him faith? The faith of God's elect. Faith from above. Faith that is said to be the gift of God. How do you know? One way. You believe God. You believe God. How does Almighty God manifest His love? He gives His people life and faith to believe Him. Abraham believed God. It is not a light thing that we would be here tonight and believe the Lord. Now, when the Lord reveals Himself, when He reveals man, He gives His people faith to believe. Now, what has the Lord said about man? What has the Lord said about Himself? Turn with, mark your place there. Just turn over with John chapter 6. What has the Lord said about man? Now, as I said a minute ago, it's not a light thing. It's not a light thing that we believe the Lord. That's the evidence of life. Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He believed the Lord. Now, let me ask you this. I'm going to read you a few scriptures here, and I'm going to ask you, you just answer yourself. No, don't raise your hand. Let me ask you this, if you believe God. What has the Lord said about man? John chapter 6. Verse 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh, carnal man, the flesh profiteth. That means there's no use. That means there's no advantage. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Now let me ask you this. What has the Lord said about man? Man is spiritually dead. That's what He said. Man was ruined in the fall. Without me, you can do nothing. Nothing. A believer believes that. Without Him, I can do nothing. The Lord set forth the spiritual impotence of man and declared that the natural mind, human wisdom of man, is of no assistance in man's salvation. The Spirit quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. What did the Lord say concerning Himself? Well, look at verse 64, John 6, 64. But there are some of you that believe not. You know what He just said? I'm omniscient. I know. There's some of you that believe not. Now, I'm looking at a group of people here tonight, and you're looking back at me, and all I know is that you're looking at me. That's all I know. I have no earthly idea what's in your heart. The Lord knows. The flesh profiteth nothing. But there's some of you, He said, that believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that believed not, who would betray Him. Now, that ought to strike fear in every unbeliever. It does in a believer, because he'll say this, the Lord knows. I know the Lord knows. I know that for myself, I think of Peter, whenever Peter had said after the Lord was risen from the dead and he was on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias, and Peter said, I go a-fishing. And I know what he said. I know what he said. You do too. You that believe, you do too. He said, I quit. I quit. I'm going back. I'm going back to my old way. And here's the sad thing. The other disciples said the same thing. We go with you. You said, couldn't an apostle say that? Yeah. He did. They did. But after the Lord was pleased to let them stay out all night and fish and catch nothing, children, you caught anything? No. Cast your net on the other side. You know the catch that they had. It came in. No record of any words being spoken until the Lord said this. Peter, I can just imagine. As soon as he said that, Peter, lovest thou me more than these? And I think to myself, those words to my heart, Marvin, lovest thou me more than these? And Peter's answer was, Lord, you know. You know I love you. A believer is one that is honest. He knows that the word of the Lord concerning him is right. And then the Lord said something in verse 65. He related both truths of man's inability and his absolute sovereignty and salvation. Look at verse 65. And he said, therefore, said I unto you, that no man can come. No man has the ability to come. It's not that word can has nothing to do with permission. It has to do with ability. No man can come unto me. And man by nature says he can. And the Lord says he can't. And a believer believes God. No man can come unto me except it were given unto him of my Father. Now, with that statement that he just made, no man can come unto me except my Father gives him that ability, that will, in the day of God's power to come. No man can come. You cannot come. And the reaction to that statement right there reveals the heart of a man. With that statement, two things. One of two things. Man will do one of two things. His reaction to that statement reveals whether the Lord has left him to himself or whether or not God Almighty is regenerating him by grace. Look at that. Verse 66. From that time, from the time he made that statement, many of his disciples, many of those that were following him, went back and walked no more with him. That's the reaction of the natural heart. I'm not going to have that man to rule over me. But there's one other reaction. And this reaction only by the grace of God. Verses 67 to 71. I noticed immediately from that time, verse 66, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. And immediately the Lord turns to his disciples, turns to the 12, and asks this question, will ye also go away? Will you go? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Let me ask you, believer, where else would you go? Peter said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And we believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil? He spake of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for he it was that should betray him, being one of the 12. Some went back and followed him no more, walked with him no more, and but for the grace of God, died in unbelief. And the very words of our Lord right here that he spoke to them that day will come up again Those words, listen to this. John 12, 47, 48. If any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not, for I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me. What does it mean to reject the Lord Jesus Christ? The next words out of the Lord's mouth tells us what it means to reject Christ. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. In the last day, the books are going to be opened. And the book. And all who are found not written in the book of life, written from the foundation of the world, they're going to be judged out of the books of their own works. That very thought is so fearful in my mind that Almighty God would open, God who knows, Jesus knew from the beginning. Who believed him not. He knew. He knows. He knows. I'm not hiding anything from him. He knows. I'm not getting away with it. In myself, I know I can do nothing. Left to myself, I'm gone. Oh, but 11 out of the 12, Judas excluded. The Lord had truly shown kindness and compassion, and they truly were found doing just exactly back what Proverbs 21, now turn back there now, declares. Will you go away? Will you go away also? Peter said, Lord, where are we going to go? He that followeth after righteousness. He that followeth after the righteousness of God himself, the Lord Jesus Christ. He that followeth after mercy. That verse that I quoted, I love that, Exodus 33:19. I love that verse of Scripture. Lord, show me your glory. Show me your glory. Here's the glory of God. I'm going to have mercy and compassion on whomsoever I will. Oh, what glory. Lord, that you would show mercy and compassion to me. He that followeth after, he that longs after, he that followeth. And I looked that word up. He that followeth. Here's what it means. He that fervently. He that constantly followeth. But here's the one I'm so thankful was in that, you know, that explanation of that word. You know what? Here's one I love. He that needfully followeth. I love that song. I need thee every hour. Every believer, they follow after Christ. They follow. The Lord promised that. He said that. He said, look, my sheep hear my voice. Now you that believe. Do we not hear the voice of the Master? When you hear Christ proclaimed, Christ honored, Christ exalted, Christ praised, Christ extolled, you hear the voice of the shepherd. You hear the voice of the Master. When he's honored and man is abased, you say, that's my Master's voice right there. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them. I know them in mercy, in compassion. I know them in love. And they follow me. They follow me. How do they follow? They fervently follow. admitting all the while, Lord, without you, I can do nothing. I know that. They follow constantly. Will you go away? Lord, where am I going to go? Where am I going to go? And they follow needfully. Lord, don't leave me to myself. Lord, you promised. You promised that you'd never leave me. You'd never forsake me. So to continually follow after righteousness and mercy is to continually follow after Christ by faith, admitting I need Him. I need my righteousness. I need the mercy of God. I need Christ. John said in 1 John 2:1, my little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. We have an advocate. I want one. I've given this illustration. I'm sure I gave it here, but I'm going to use it real quickly. When I lived in Franklin, Tennessee, had a good buddy of mine who worked at a little store. And a young man came in one night. My buddy sold him some beer. He looked old enough. The boy wasn't old enough. He was underage. My buddy didn't check the ID. Police caught him. Asked him, where'd you get this beer? Told him back this store. Went back and walked up to my buddy that was there and asked him, did you sell this beer? Yes, I did. He said, you check his ID? No, I didn't. He said, he's underage. Gave him a ticket. Going to show up in court now. He's on the docket. A man walks into the store a few days after his, you know, it's been known that he's going to be there. Walks in and tells him, he said, listen, I see where you're going to go before this judge there in Franklin. And he said, I'm an attorney. My buddy said, I can't pay you. I don't have any money. He said, oh, don't worry about it. I'll do it pro bono, no charge. You know, I'll take care of it. Last time my friend saw that attorney. Last time he saw him, you know. Well, here comes the day of court. Two or three cases come up. People stand up. They're going to, you know, answer for themselves against the judge. And every time they would come up and the judge would ask them, do you have an attorney? No, I'm going to represent myself. And I was there. And I watched that judge get madder and madder and madder. I didn't know her personally. I knew of her. She was fair. Boy, I tell you what, man, it about three or four cases before my friend's name was called, and she was hot. She was mad. And about that time, this man stood up and called my buddy's name, you know, James Beasley. And listen, my heart, I could feel it in my throat, and they're here to see him, not me. And he started to get up, and that attorney that didn't show up at that one time there at the store, told him he'd be there, stood up and said, Judge, I represent that man. I'll talk to you after court. And the judge looked at him and said, that'll be fine. Next, I thought, I need an advocate. I need one that speaks the language of the judge. I need one that knows the rules. I need one that will satisfy Almighty God. My little children, these things I write unto you that you sin not. If any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father. One that the Father loves. One that the Father chose. One that the Father has sent. One in whom the Father is well pleased. That's who I need. Will you go away, Lord? Where am I going to go? Without you, Lord, what have I got? God's people, the Lord's people, they follow after Him. But to follow after righteousness and to follow after mercy is to know I need a righteousness before God. I need mercy. I'm unable to produce a righteousness that God's going to accept. And he who follows after righteousness and mercy is the one who cries, as that publican we read about this morning, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. There's a true hunger for God to be gracious because of the misery of something that I know myself to be. I'm a sinner. I need that. I need help. I need, Lord, for you to show mercy to me. You to show. When everyone that's found with a heart to seek after righteousness, this is what it says. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy. And it's only by the grace of God that a man does, a woman does. You follow after. You tell me one more time. Tell me one more time how God has been merciful to me. Tell me one more time how God grants faith to believe. Tell me one more time how the Lord keeps his people. Tell me that again. I know I've heard it again. Tell me again. Paul said, that's safe for you. He said, that's not grievous for me to tell you the same thing over and over and over. We got one message. That's all God's people want. Tell me one message. You tell me of him. Tell me of my righteousness. Tell me of God's mercy. Tell me how long-suffering. Tell me of his gentleness and kindness. Tell me again how he bore my debt in his own body. Tell me how he was made sin. He who knew no sin. Tell me one more time. If you knew that tonight was your last night, if this was the last time you're ever going to hear it, if you're laying on your deathbed, the doctor said, you know, you have just moments left. What do you want to hear? You just tell me one more time. Tell me one more time how God has mercy and compassion on whomsoever it will. And out of your heart, that Almighty God would give you a heart to say, Lord, have mercy on me. Not one instance in all the scriptures did anybody ever come to the Lord asking for mercy and they didn't get it. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Tell me that one more time. One of these days is going to be the last time I ever hear that. He that followeth after righteousness and mercy findeth I am the way. I'm the truth. And I'm the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And they that continually follow after, they find him. That's what the Lord said. They find him who is their life, spiritual life, eternal life. Continually find him who is their righteousness. Never in themselves, but in him that robes them in his righteousness. The one that they realize has put on his obedience upon them. And they lay hold of him and they rejoice. And the scripture says they find one other thing. They find life, Christ. They find righteousness, Christ. And they find honor, Christ. Being found in him, they find being found in him. We're sons of God. What honor that we should be called the sons of God. Let me tell you, just in the closing statement, concerning the honor of those that follow after righteousness and mercy, that find life and righteousness and honor. We're heirs of God. What honor. I don't even know what to say. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Sometimes we say that so quickly. And I'll be the first to admit, I don't know what to say about it. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, it's never entered into the heart of man. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. He hath made us kings and priests unto God. Those who offer the sacrifice of praise unto Him, the fruit of our lips, those who shall receive a crown of glory being found in Him. Lord, that You give me a heart to continually and keep me and not let me go. Keep me following after righteousness, mercy, that I find life and righteousness and honor. Lord, as You say, it is. It is. May the Lord bless our hearts and give us a renewed remembrance and thankfulness for that which He's been pleased to do by His infinite mercy and compassion for Christ's sake and for our eternal glory.